Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Shayna Farfel with Occupational Health. Today, we are speaking with Ms. Lisa Abney, a registered nurse and tobacco treatment specialist for the Vanderbilt Center for Tobacco Addiction and Lifestyle, also known as VITAL. Thanks for being with us today, Lisa.
Oh, you're welcome.
We all know that smoking is bad for our health, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners who are also smokers have been advised to quit by friends, family members, healthcare providers. But we also all know that quitting smoking is an incredibly challenging endeavor and certainly not one to embark on lightly and without a plan. So as an expert in the field, I wanted to pose a few questions for you today that I think will help our listeners to contemplate and prepare for quitting smoking in a realistic way. Can you start by telling us what are the health benefits of quitting smoking? And if I've been a smoker for, let's say, lots of decades, is the damage already done or can it be reversed in terms of my health?
Well, a lot of it depends on the exposure. But the bottom line for everybody to remember is that anyone at any age can benefit by quitting smoking. And here's just a few of the time points that you can think about. After you've had your last cigarette, in 20 minutes, your heart rate and blood pressure will begin to drop. In about 12 hours, the carbon monoxide level in your blood begins to drop back toward normal. In 48 hours, the damaged nerve endings will begin to regenerate and your sense of smell and taste will begin to return to normal. In about 2 weeks to 3 months, your risk of heart attack will begin to decrease. Your circulation improves and your lung function increases. Also, something you probably don't think about is that your HDL cholesterol will improve. In the time frame of like 1 month to 9 months, the coughing and shortness of breath will improve. The cilia, or those tiny hair-like structures that help us keep our lungs clean, will begin to regain their normal function and help us reduce the risk of infections. A year after quitting, the excess risk of coronary heart disease is half of that of a continued smoker. After 5 years, the risk of lung cancer is about 40% lower than those of continued smoker. And in that five-year period, your risk of cancer of the mouth, throat, esophagus, and bladder are cut in half. Most people don't think about bladder cancer as being related to smoking, but it is. Cervical cancer and stroke risk start falling to that of a non-smoker in about 5 years. 10 years after you quit, the risk of cancer of the voice box or your larynx and your pancreas will decrease. You've probably also heard that smoking impacts the wrinkles around your face. If you quit smoking, those wrinkles will, your collagen will get better. You'll have fewer wrinkles, meaning a more youthful appearance. And one thing that people don't really think about when they think about quitting smoking is the cost. When you quit smoking, you reduce your own financial burden, the burden on the healthcare system and on society as a whole. You also are ill more often, miss more work, which impacts your bottom line. You expose your children and other relatives to risks of illness, which means you may have more sick days taking care of sick children. Your pets are even impacted by smoke. So that's something to think about. Even if you go outside to smoke, you come back in and you have third-hand smoke on you, which then still impacts your family. And I don't know if you've heard this very much, but I've had patients tell me that, you know, I only smoke organic cigarettes. They're much more healthy. There's not a problem with those. Mm-hmm. Well, then we do a little bit of education because the chemicals are released when the tobacco set on fire. So organic cigarettes, as well as regular cigarettes, are going to have the same 7,000 chemicals because they're set on fire when you smoke it. So you're still getting the same damage whether you have organic tobacco or not. Studies that looked at people who quit smoking versus people who continued to smoke noticed that people who quit had lower scores of depression, lower scores of anxiety, and higher scores of well-being. Remember, when you do quit, you do need to use the 3 months of medication as well as the counseling to help you manage that nicotine withdrawal and the coping skills.
So just huge spectrum of benefits from physical health to mental health to financial health. And I didn't know a lot of those numbers. That's really significant. One of the questions I get a lot from patients is, okay, so let's say I'm smoking a pack a day and I'm able to cut back significantly to a half a pack or less, but I am still smoking. Is this better than smoking a pack a day, or do I only get the health benefits by stopping completely? Any thoughts about that?
Actually, there was an article written and published in the British Medical Journal in 2018 that really helps answer this question. They report there is no safe number of smoked cigarettes. Smoking one cigarette a day carries 40 to 50% of the risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke as smoking 20 cigarettes a day. So think about it like this. It's just like asbestos. There's no safe level of smoking.
Just sticking with it to get down to zero as the goal. That makes sense.
As you said, if they're in the process of cutting down to quit, I've cut down to a half a pack and I'm on my way to quitting, that's something that we encourage because you're cutting down to quit, but have that quit as the end goal.
Yep, absolutely. This is a loaded question, and I know you could probably answer this for days. If someone has tried and failed to quit in the past, how can they remain motivated to quit in the future? And what might they consider doing differently next time that may be more successful?
One thing to remember is the statistic. Only 5% of the people who are trying to quit use medication and counseling. We need to remember to use the tools that are proven to be successful. Those are the FDA-approved medications, as well as getting into a structured counseling program. And this counseling program can be used in the state quit line, which is free. You can go to smokefree.gov and sign up and get text messages, or they can contact you guys at the occupational health clinic because you guys have got a really good program. And so using these help improves your odds of quitting. But the most important thing is don't get discouraged. So if you think back to a time when maybe you were trying to learn a new skill, that new skill could be something to do with work, maybe learning how to type, maybe learning a new exercise, or trying to learn a craft, something that might even be fun. When you learned this new skill, how did your first attempts go with this? How did that attempt go? Did you do perfect the first time you did it? Did you get frustrated or discouraged because I can't just get this typing down? I know it took me quite a while to get the skills down to where I can type and do so with very few errors. And that's the way it is with smoking. Always think back to a time in your past. What did I do to be successful then? Maybe I practiced. Maybe I got help from friends. So always remember, we learn from the challenges. So as you're going through this process, you're going to have some ups and downs, but you learn from them and just keep on going.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good way to think about that. I like the analogy of learning a new skill because it's something you have to relearn and retrain your body.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you learned how to smoke.
Right.
You got to learn how to quit.
Right. Exactly. And unfortunately, that part is harder.
Yes, it is.
Again, this is another thing that I hear a lot from patients who are ready to quit smoking, but one of the biggest hindrances that I think they face is when they have family and friends around them, or even in, you know, in their household who are still smoking. If someone's ready to quit, how might they be able to overcome a hurdle like that?
And that is a really, really big challenge for a lot of the people that I speak with as well. One thing we usually start with is, you know, call a family meeting, you know, say, okay, guys, I am quitting smoking. I have this reason, this reason, this reason. I'm quitting smoking and I'd like your help and support. Make your home a no smoking area. So, you know, I understand we all smoke. We're all going to start smoking outside. We're not going to smoke in the house anymore. Because if you have to get up and go outside, usually makes you look at it a different, oh, I don't want to go outside. I'll just wait. It's too hot. It's too cold. If you're an outside smoker, most everybody has a little smoking area set up outside. Chairs, table, ashtrays. You want that to look different. Inside and out, clean away all your smoking paraphernalia. Put something different on the table. Make it look different. You want to have a different visual for that trigger when you see it. It's also really important to use props in your hand. Something as silly as a pen or a pencil, you can mess around with, you can hold. The spice cinnamon we use in cooking comes in a form of cinnamon sticks. Those cinnamon sticks are rolled up bark. They feel like a cigarette. Hold that in your hand and breathe in and out through it. A straw, breathe in and out through it. Hold it in your hand. Works great in a car. Flavored toothpicks are another good prop. You can get those on Amazon and find recipes to make them yourself, especially if you're a menthol smoker. Menthol is another layer in quitting because people are addicted to the nicotine and the hit of the menthol going down their throats. So using things like that, oral nicotine replacement when you're around other smokers can also be very beneficial.
Those are great ideas. We don't have to get into this kind of exhaustively, but you know, you mentioned that there are medications available for treatment. Mm-hmm. What's sort of the overview of what those medications are, just so people have an idea?
Well, there are 7 FDA-approved medications. 5 of them are nicotine replacement and 2 of them are oral medications. So the big picture is patches are long-acting. They can be purchased over-the-counter or as a prescription, depending on your insurance. Short-acting is the gum and the lozenge that can also be purchased over-the-counter or prescription. They are dosed according to how much you smoke. It's important to have strong enough patches. So if you smoke 10 cigarettes a day, you really need to start with a 21 milligram patch to be sure you're covered. The important thing that a lot of people don't know about the short-acting nicotine replacement lozenge and gums is they've got to be used the right way. They absorb through the lining of your cheek, not your stomach. Mm-hmm. So they read the directions very carefully. You want to be sure you're using these the right way, that you're getting the best benefit. And using patches, which are long acting, with the oral, which is short acting, using those together covers breakthrough cravings and is much more effective. The 2 prescription nicotine replacement is a nicotine inhaler and nasal spray. I do not see nasal spray used very often. A lot of people don't like to use nasal sprays. The inhaler is almost cost prohibitive because a lot of insurances don't cover it. And it is not an inhaler like you think about using for asthma. It is a plastic piece shaped as a cigarette with a vial of FDA-approved clean nicotine in it that you do this with.
That's a new one for me.
Yes, and our insurance does not cover that. Then we have the oral medication, which is called Wellbutrin or Zyban. Be aware that this is not used as often as it was in the past because there are multiple medication-to-medication interactions. Varenicline or Chantix is used quite frequently. There are now 2 generics. One of them is called Apovarenicline. The other one is Parvarenicline. They are very effective. The EAGLES trial published in 2016 showed the efficacy of varenicline as well as its safety profile. It did show also that you have 50% chance of quitting over patches alone. Also, studies are showing using nicotine replacement short and long acting together are kind of on the same level as varenicline. Both of those are very, very good ways to quit. Always remember that whatever medication you choose, you need to use it for 3 months. The general time frame is 6 to 12 weeks. It takes the nicotinic receptors in your brain to return to normal or pre-smoking levels. Let your brain heal. Once it heals, you are less likely to have issues with the nicotine withdrawal, the irritability, the anxiousness, and those strong cravings as well. So that's why they're always recommended for 3 months.
Wonderful. Thank you for going through that. That was very helpful. Lastly, what smoking cessation resources are available here at Vanderbilt for folks if they're contemplating quitting?
Well, you guys actually have an amazing program for all of our employees, which is so amazing. And I wish more people knew about it. Also, there are free services such as the Tobacco Quit Line, which is 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Each state has their own quit line funded by the state, giving some free medications depending on the state. You can also go to smokefree.gov, which is a texting service that can kind of help give you assistance. And that's sponsored through the National Cancer Institute. Tell me a little bit more about your program.
Yeah, thank you. We at Occupational Health have a program that's called Quit RX. And it's a program that would allow any employee, both university and medical center, to come see one of our occupational health providers. And the consultation with us is free. And we talk about motivation to quit. We discuss whether or not some of these medications that you talked about may be appropriate, and we can prescribe them and follow you throughout your care. And that could be up to 3 months. And in some cases, there's indications for longer, or help yes. kind of get you in with your PCP to continue to follow you. And we do, as you said, if you're in this program with us, we do also get you connected to a health coach through Health Plus, who's also following you for counseling around smoking cessation, so that you've got both of those pieces going. We like to remind folks, this is a service that can be done in person. It can be a telemedicine appointment. We like to make it convenient and accessible for all employees. So I will link some resources to that when we post the podcast. But if you're interested, you can call our main occupational health line too at 615-936-0955 and set up an appointment.
It's a great program. From different staff members I've worked with, I've heard a lot of really good things about your program.
Yes. Yeah. Just trying to get the word out, because we are all here and ready to help you guys. Well, Lisa, thank you so, so much for your time today. I think folks will find this information incredibly helpful, and we really appreciate your expertise and sharing with us. So thank you again.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have a story suggestion, you can use the Contact Us page on our website at www.vumc.org/health-wellness.